for a few weeks anyway, can't remember how many, I haven't started that sentence really, but just re-look at some of the I am sayings of Jesus. As it's, I'm doing this as a means of just refocusing our sights on Jesus, because at the end of the day, it's Jesus that actually makes the difference. It's not church, and it's not programs, and it's not strategies. It's Jesus. So I just think, certainly, particularly on this run-up to Christmas, when ironically, when we were supposed to be celebrating Jesus' birthday, when everyone's gaze is everywhere else apart from that, we're actually going to focus on Jesus. And with that in mind, I'm going to read one verse to you. Oh, no, not two. Two. All right, let's start. Here we go. John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Do you know, even the phrase "I am" is a bit out of step with modern life, isn't it? Nowadays, the kind of the way the world is, it would tend to be rewritten as "I could be," "I may be," "I am if you want me to be," I you know, "I'm kind of aspiring to be," but "I am" is a bit of a strong statement in today's world. And one of the reasons for this is because we actually live in this world of a snowstorm of different choices. We live in a world where there's a vast array of choices. For example, Tesco's, did you know, stocks 91 different shampoos, 93 varieties of toothpaste. That's more choices of toothpaste than most of us have got teeth in our mouths. 115 varieties of household cleaner. 115. Tropicana, which is a part of PepsiCo, turns out freshly pulped juice in more than 20 different varieties. How can there be more than 20 different varieties of fruit juice? And that's up from just 6 in 2004. That's, you know, wow. And it says that in the next year or so, there should be as many as 30 different varieties. So hold on to your hats. It's going to be a wild ride. We make hundreds of decisions each day. We're faced with thousands of choices. And when it comes to religion, there's a whole lot of choice there too. There are an estimated 4,200 different religions worldwide. That's not talking about Christian denominations, I'm talking about religions. 4,200 worldwide. There's plenty to choose from there as well. Choice is all around us. You cannot go through a day in your life without having made hundreds of choices. So with that in mind, you can appreciate how out of step the following statement sounds to a lot of people. Jesus told them, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Wow, the way, the truth, the life, the only way to get to the Father. How can he say that? That out of 4,200 different choices, he represents the only real way. And just in case that's not clear enough, the Bible also records these words from St. Paul. "There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." See, the thing we prize more than just about anything else these days actually is choice. If I choose this way, that's my business. If you choose that way, that's your business. That's okay. The important thing is that you're happy with your choice and I'm happy with my choice. So long as there is a choice. But when Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, what he's saying was that whilst it's true that there are an almost infinite number of choices that we can make regarding how we live our lives, how people live their lives, not all of those choices are equally valid. Not all of them deliver what they promise. The idea that any choice will do so long as you yourself are happy with it is actually based on four big myths. These myths are all pervasive. I can guarantee, or I'm pretty certain anyway, that you'll have encountered all four of them. Bet you have. Bet you've had a conversation with somebody in the not-so-distant past that brings at least one of these myths to the surface. The question is, how do you answer them? How do you answer these big myths? Because they all sound so reasonable, so in tune with the spirit of the age, so broad-minded. Well, Jesus challenged these four myths, and we're going to be looking at how he did that this evening, and how he destroyed them in just one sentence. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, the first big myth that addresses is this, that Jesus had a point of view, but so did a lot of other people. Everybody's got a point of view. So Jesus had a point of view, and that's fine, but he's no one special. It's just one point of view. No one can claim that position of authority in my life, so the thought process goes, because we're all equal. So what gives Jesus the right to say which path I should take? Who does he think he is? And in fact, people have been asking that question pretty much ever since Jesus was walking around 2,000 years ago. But in the next breath, they were cutting Jesus down. He's just a carpenter, Mary's boy. We've known him since he was a kid. We know his brothers. James, Justus, Jude, Simon, and his sisters. Who does he think he is? And they tripped over what little they knew about him and fell sprawling, and they never got any further. What makes Jesus any different? What gives him the right to tell us which path we need to take in life? The first two words of this sentence, I am. You'll know probably, but several thousand years before Jesus uttered this sentence, God used those two words, or at least the Hebrew that they're translated from, to reveal to Moses his personal name, I am. God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. I am, which is short for I am who I am, is where we get the name Yahweh, the personal name of God. So when Jesus was telling people that there is only one real way, one real truth, and one real life, he was saying the reason that I can say that is because there is more than this is more than just the point of view of an ordinary person. I can say this because I am. I am. If I was just an ordinary person, then this would just be an ordinary point of view. No better, no worse than anyone else's point of view. But it isn't just an ordinary point of view. This is I am speaking. And my point of view is different to everyone else's point of view, because my point of view is not just limited by a fallible, finite life. In fact, as he once put it to a group of Jews who were basically saying, who do you think you are? You're just an ordinary person with an ordinary opinion. And he said, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, why does this myth ultimately cause misery in our lives? Well, because if everyone's point of view is equally valid, then no one's point of view is really valid. It's like if you gave everybody in the world £1 million, so that everyone had exactly the same amount of money, £1 million, would everyone be rich? No. In fact, no one would be rich. You'd all be millionaires, but no one would be rich because you've all got exactly the same amount. If everyone has an opinion that is equally as valid, is everyone happy? No, because all of those opinions are just human and therefore limited and in many cases just plain wrong. Only I am, only the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, all-wise God has the definitive opinion. And his name is I Am. You know, it's a myth that Jesus has just got one point of view and it's no more valid than anybody else's. It's a myth because he isn't just like anyone else. He is I Am. Okay, well, here's another myth that ultimately just ends in misery. That there are lots of different paths to fulfillment in life. Pick one and follow it. We'll all have met people who would say, look, I've got my path, you've got your path. It doesn't really matter. At least we're following our paths. So you let me follow my path, I'll let you follow your path. We'll all just get on together. So long as you are being true to yourself and staying on the path you have chosen. What does it actually even mean, you being true to yourself? No, you're not. Nobody's true to themselves. We all lie to ourselves. Does my bum look big in this? No. What, do you think I'm crazy? No, but, anyway, what a phrase. What a silly phrase. And then we say, well, as long as you're being true to yourself, everything's going to turn out just fine. But what if being true to myself means I take the wrong path in life? Well, that doesn't really matter, according to this myth. What matters is that however destructive and misdirected that path turns out to be, it was my path and I took it. Yes, I did it my way. I often feel that's so sad when I've done thousands of funerals and how often people want Frank Sinatra singing My Way at their funeral. I think, gosh, how sad. Because if only you'd done it Yahweh. But hey. There are lots of paths in life, but they certainly don't all lead to fulfillment. See, a person may think they're own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. But Jesus, on the back of saying, I am, he was in fact saying, I am, I am. I am God. He was saying that he is the way. Not just a good potential way to follow. Hey, if that's your lifestyle, that's great. You do that spirituality, I'm doing mine. No, he's saying, no, I am the way. The only way that leads to life. And the first followers of Jesus were so convinced that he was right, so sold out on following I am the way, that's how they became known. That's what they became known as. Before they had a name change and became known as Christians, they were known as followers of the way.
So when Paul stopped persecuting them and became one of them, that's how he described himself. However, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that's in accordance with the law and that's written in the prophets. Now, how can one person not only claim to know the best way to live life, but actually be the way? Because that one person is I am. God in the flesh. The only way that actually leads to life. He didn't say, follow my teaching. He said, follow me. Now, why does choosing to be true to ourselves in the sense of just picking a path in life and following it, why does that end up making us miserable? Because who can tell where that path is ultimately leading until you get there? By which time, it's too late. There is a path, you see, before each person that seems right. But it ends in death. But it seems so right, it can't be wrong. Well, it is. Only someone who's already been to the end of the path and come back to be a faithful guide can show us the path that leads to God. And only Jesus has done that. No other religious leader, no other great thinker or philosopher, only Jesus, the one who calls himself, I am. Here's a third myth. I bet you've heard about this one, come across this one as well. So long as you are true to yourself and living a good life, you'll get to heaven. What's really important is that you are true to yourself and you're living a good life. Oh, and life, good is, you know, that line that I myself draw to make sure I'm above it. Well, so long as you're above that line, you get to heaven. See, fulfillment lies in deciding that I am going to recognize as being true. Fulfillment lies in recognizing what I choose to recognizing as being true and then seeking to stick to that. So I draw the line and I make sure I'm always above it. And so long as I'm always above it, I'm okay. I'm winning. I'm doing fine. By the by, this is a bit of trivia for you. This is the thinking behind the change in the promise that the Girl Guides make, the change a couple of years ago. I know you probably never actually make this promise yourself now, they've changed from promising to love my God, which was in the original statement, to promising to, quote, be true to myself and develop my beliefs. You know that. Yeah, don't join the Girl Guides. They'll get you nowhere. Or might do. The thinking behind this is I decide what's true and I commit myself to living by that. Now, why does that just prove to be a dead end in the end? Because just deciding that something is true doesn't actually make it true. I've said this before, but it sticks with me. When I was a student, I was financing a car that drank petrol like it was going out of fashion and a student lifestyle all on the proceeds of a Saturday job at a hardware shop. And I was always short of money then, as now. But then the government outrageously put the price of a gallon of petrol up to a pound. It'll never last, I said. There will be rioting in the streets. A pound for a gallon. I mean, what does a gallon cost now? About 5-6 quid? Something like that? Yeah, but I thought at the time, a pound, are you having a giraffe? Nobody is going to stand for this. Well, they did. And look where we are now. All that's required for petrol to be really expensive is for good men to do nothing. But anyway, I was always reluctant to put petrol in my car because I could never afford it. But I needed it every day for going to sixth form college. So each day I chose to believe that although the dial was on empty, this is going to get me there one more time. I just believe it because I can't afford to put any petrol in the tank. And the number of times that I actually had to abandon my car and actually end up walking to college just goes to show that it doesn't really matter how fervently you believe in something. If it's not true, it's not true. A car is not going to run on no petrol. Just isn't. No matter how many times you declare it in the name of Jesus, it's just not going to. No matter how much you cast out the demon of an empty tank of petrol, it's not going to work. You know, it's like the person who jumps off the Empire State Building, isn't it? And is heard by people on each floor as he hurtles past them to be saying, well, so far so good. Oh, so far so good. No, you're going to hit the ground at some stage. Truth, the point I'm making here is this. Truth isn't about wishful thinking. It's not about wishful thinking, no matter how passionately we believe it. Christians can get so messed up with this as well. I remember talking to a chap from, I don't think he went to a church, to be honest with you, but he was a believer. And his philosophy was a very name it and claim it philosophy. And so he showed me one time his wallet, which was predictably empty. And he said, you know what? I choose to believe that this wallet is full of money. And I just declare it in Jesus' name. And I'm looking at it thinking, well, you can declare what you like, mate, but you're broke. That wallet is empty. Just fervently believing it doesn't make it true. It's not about wishful thinking. You know, there are a lot of versions of that about, just like the Bible said there would be. It says you're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle the fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. But Jesus said, I am the truth. Not just show the truth or teach the truth or model the truth. He is the truth. The truth in personal form. He's saying, if you want to know what truth is, look at me. Now, how can he say that? Because he is I am. We can measure everything against him to find out whether it's truthful or not. Because he is the truth. Now, why does the myth that you just have to be true to yourself and live a good life end up just in misery? Well, because it doesn't deliver what it promises. It doesn't change who you are and make you into a better person or a different person. It doesn't empower you to live the life that you were created to live. It doesn't produce freedom and fulfillment. It just produces disappointment and frustration. Only knowing the person who is the truth personified changes you into the person that you were created to be and shows you the path that you should be taking and sets you free from the deceptions and the red herrings and the false beliefs that drag you down. See, Jesus turned to the Jews who'd claimed to believe in him. He said, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth. And guess what? The truth will set you free. The truth will free you. Free you from the deception of thinking that you can make your own path in life and find fulfillment and ultimately an eternity in heaven on your own and under your own steam. And that's why Jesus said, listen, I am the way and the truth and the life. You see, there's another myth that sounds great, but actually stops us from living the life that we should and we could be living. And I'm sure we've heard of this one as well. it's your life. So you need to take control of it and fulfill yourself in it. You only get one life, it's your life. Seize it, take control. Live it to the full. Find your own way, make your own truth. Take control of your own life. Oh, it sounds so like of the moment, doesn't it? Don't be a victim. Take control. The truth is, though, life is far too uncertain for that to be a reality, isn't it? Life can change in an instant. And without wishing to sound too pessimistic, I realise I'm going down this rabbit hole, keep going, we are powerless to do anything about it. Life changes just like that. One hospital check, one moment of distraction, one wrong decision. Life is far too uncertain to leave it to us being responsible for it. So, I Am came into this world to give us the gift of life, not on our terms, where we try to control it and find some sort of fulfillment for ourselves, but on his terms. He says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Having life to the full is about letting go of the myth that we can somehow order life ourselves, so it turns out the way we want it to turn out. The truth is, if you grasp and cling to life on your terms, you'll lose it. But if you let that life go, you'll get life on God's terms. That's the truth. Life on your terms or life on God's terms. Jesus didn't say, I am the way and the truth and the life, to cramp our style, to take away our freedom or our rights to live life on our own way, in our own way. He said those words because he wants us to experience life in all its fullness. Life in all its fullness. Life as he designed it to be. And that can only be done in relationship with I am who I am, Jesus himself. You know, I've just come back from a place that is the heartland of the Sikh religion. Never seen so many Sikh people all in one place, all at one time. And so the churches there tend to be full of people who have converted from Sikhism because they found Jesus. And the absolute dominant common denominator in all of their stories is I have come into a freedom in my life that I never thought possible. I've come into a personal relationship that is changing everything. It's amazing. It's amazing. There is only actually one way, one truth that leads to one life that sets you free. I'm wondering, actually, is that the Jesus that we know? The same God who revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush? The same God who started everything in the universe off? The same God who wants the absolute very best for you and me and who says you will only find that very best with me? We're praying at the moment for our plus ones. We're praying for those who just need to come along and meet Jesus. What do you think their understanding of Jesus is? Probably, if they think about him at all, probably it's, well, I am. He is a way. He certainly said a lot of stuff that sounds quite true, some of it. And hey, there might be some life attached. What we're praying for is that they come and they meet Jesus and they find, you know, it's true. He is, I am, who is the way and the truth and the life. Salvation is found in no other name other than Jesus. And that's what we've discovered, and that's what we've found, and that's what we want others to find. And as I say, I've just come back from a week of meeting hundreds of people who have found freedom, life in all its fullness, coming out of doing life in their own terms and into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And it's wonderful to see the stark, wonderful difference between life lived doing religion and life lived knowing Jesus. He really is the way, the truth, the life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, you are the way, the only way, not the best way, but the only way that gives us freedom and life eternal. You are the truth. You don't say stuff that is true. You embody truth. You are the gold standard. And you are the life in all its fullness, the life that God the Father longs for us to have. Only as I am in Christ Jesus do I experience a foretaste of that life in all its fullness. But we do, and we thank you. But because all of that is true, Lord, and it's something that's really struck me over this past week, where has the wonder of all of that gone? And Lord, as I've met people who have given everything up, family, business, prospects, to follow you, and yet are so glad they have, it challenges me, Lord, for me to regain the wonder that I know I am. My life has been saved and reclaimed by I am. Lord, would you just fill us now afresh with the wonder of this? We know the way, the truth, the life. What a wonderful thing. I am a friend of God. He knows my name. Lord Jesus, I pray as we approach this Christmas season, would you reveal yourself afresh to us, refresh us in the knowledge of who you are. The only way, the only truth, the only life, Jesus. Amen.